took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Greetings, this is Pastor David and
Pastor Barry.
The two of us here in the studio at WCNO FM Christian Radio, just having a good old time. And we're in the spirit. Oh, praise God for that. We've been sharing the last 2 weeks. We talk about truth, God's truth versus our truth, and then God's truth in concert with his love and how those things work together and build up the church. And along the way in both of those programs, we kind of touched on the issue of we speak about truth, and there's two lives that we have available to us, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
We have the life we have now if we don't know Jesus. That's the life we have put together. Others have helped us put it together. It's been kind of a cobbled, you know, collection of impressions and expectations and hopes and dreams and all that stuff. Or we can have the true life that God has intended for us all along. And my brother Barry is going to read to us just a few verses from the Gospel of John. And if you have a Bible, you can flip to it. It's John 12, verses 23 through 25.
And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." The wow. word of the Lord.
Now, I love that. You know, and one of the things I love is that there's several levels of meaning here.
Yes.
As there always is. As the rich, you know, he's talking and using another, we call it a mini parable,
mm-hmm.
Where people had understood, because the most people were into agrarian stuff, you know, planting and reaping and harvesting, that sort of thing. First of all, he's talking about himself, because he is the seed that's going to be planted in the tomb after he dies on the cross.
Right.
And in 3 days, he's going to rise. And so when he does, it is that thing which God has intended, his resurrection, to be the beginning of the growth of the church, of the birth of the church, as he gathered his disciples together.
Mm-hmm.
We know that he's going to bring them back from, because they ran away, all of them ran away, as you can imagine. You know, they were scared and afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Bring them back to Jerusalem in the 40 days after his resurrection, get them into the upper room, the Holy Spirit's going to come, boom, you know, the church is going to be birth, and they're going to come out on the streets totally different. And there's another thing, that other layer of meaning is that we get to see what happens. We talked earlier about the seed, right? The wheat.
Right.
If it's just a seed, you know, we look at it. Now, some seeds are very attractive. You know, you look at them, they have color of shape. You know, they're kind of neat to hold, you know.
Boy, David, you need more of a life. Just, over here with a bowl of seeds staring at the seeds.
A bowl of seeds, yeah. What I want for my birthday is just, you know, a bowl of sunflower seed, because you can eat those.
Yeah, I'll get them at the dollar store.
Would you do that? Yeah, I'm sure they're excellent. But, you know, so that it talks about himself in that way, you know, that he's that seed, as I said, that dies, but then he rises again. And what happens then is that it's not just him anymore, but through the work of the Holy Spirit, the church that he founded then grows.
Right.
And those seeds multiply. I wish I'd thought of this, but I didn't, but I can at least repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
One pastor, I don't know if it was Rick Warren or somebody of that ilk, you know, somebody at that level, like a, you know, an A-lister pastor.
Right.
You know, kind of thing. But it said, holding up an orange, and he said, "I can count all the seeds in this orange." And then he holds up one orange seed, but he says, "But I cannot count all the oranges in this seed."
Ah.
And that, is like really that. a nice way of illustrating what Jesus is saying. So, you know, he talks about then at that level about himself and the church, but then on the individual level, mm-hmm. because I said, you know, that the life, if you don't have Jesus in your heart, yeah, you got a life. You got a life.
And yeah, you're still an intact seed.
You're still an intact seed. Mm-hmm. You know, all those elements
nothing but potential.
Nothing but potential.
Yeah.
But it's not realized potential.
Right. Right.
What you want is dynamic potential, mm-hmm. which only happens when you put that nice, pretty little seed in the ground that you've mm-hmm. been looking at and rejoicing over because it's so attractive, and you put it in the soil and you let it germinate. Now the seed dies. You know what you've seen, it changes. But then roots come out, the leaves and the stem come out, and mm-hmm. then you have a plant that's going to reproduce itself a zillion times.
Right.
And that's the difference between a life without Christ and a life with Christ.
And it goes back to, which life do you want?
Yeah.
In the early church, pre-gospel, the disciples put together what we would call a catechism or a catechesis today.
Yeah.
And it was the book that was it was called The Path of Life or Death, or Choice of Life or Death. We call it the Didache now.
Right.
And in the Didache, it was very painful for people to read because it was black or white.
Yep.
Right or wrong.
Yep.
They didn't mince their words. They quoted Christ over and over in this document. And they passed it out for two reasons. One was so that people would know who Jesus is and what they were talking about. But the other one, David, is interesting. They had spies coming into their worship services in their caves mm-hmm. and homes. And so they would test people. So they were pretty sharp back then.
Yeah.
And that book is still online. You can find that.
It's an easy read, too.
It's an easy read.
In some ways.
And you know, be prepared. Put your seatbelt on because it's going to tell you the truth. This is the truth. And
yeah.
We don't have a lot of that these days. In the last program, we talked about watered down and sugar flavored truth, things like that. And
yeah.
And in this case, it's coming down to this now. You know, which life do you want? A life with Christ, a forever life? Or do you want to remain a seed in David's hand, being admired?
I'll admire you, but nothing's
going
to happen.
Right.
You know,
you need to make a choice here. It comes down to making the choice. And I know we have free will, which is a blessing and
yeah.
a curse.
And, yeah. Depending on what you choose, yeah.
Yeah, depending on what you choose. I know, personally, I want a forever life.
Yeah.
You know, I want to get to heaven and get my new heavenly body, my 30-inch waist, by the way. I just thought I'd throw that out there. And I won't be diabetic anymore. I can eat whatever I want.
They go to that heavenly banquet with me.
Yes.
Go to the dessert table, you know.
Can't wait, David.
And I'll bet they have the best French silk pie up there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cheesecake, too.
Yeah.
Are we getting you hungry?
Ice cream. Sorry. Yeah.
Ice cream.
Sorry, yeah. I mean, and we're not making fun of the heavenly banquet. We know it's a spiritual thing. Although it would be really cool if God, you know, had that, too. But,
sure.
You know, whatever God has for us is wonderful. But you know, the thing you gotta realize, folks, there are only two distinct lives.
That's right.
To choose from.
There's not a third choice.
And most of us have the earthly life first anyway, because, I mean, you know, I don't know of anyone. I've heard people that have had a really early age, you know, coming to Christ.
Right.
And I don't dispute that. But everybody starts out with this life from the womb that is that seed, unpotentialized.
Mm-hmm.
And as you go along, and yeah, you know, like I was talking about, yeah, look at that seed, how wonderful that seed is. You know, I might polish it a little bit. You know, I put it on a stand or whatever. And then I'll show it to other people. And they'll say, you know what that makes me think of? You know, and when they say that, then I'm getting to hear their expectations for my seed,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And no one's gonna plant it, you know, from that group, but they're going to tell me stories, or they're going to talk about their seed that they never planted in the fertile ground of Christ. And they're going to talk about what that seed meant to them, what they did with that seed, how their life, you know, unfolded. And all of those things are helpful lore to understand our family and all of that, but it doesn't get you anywhere close to salvation, anywhere close to Jesus.
Not at all. Not at all.
So depending on how long you've carried this seed, you know, unpotentialized, unburied in the ground of Christ, you know, you may have some great ideas about it, but it's not that seed, as attractive as it may be to you, has no power in and of itself to get you where you God wants you to be. You know, because at the end of your life, God really wants you to have chosen him early, you know, and walked with Jesus, his son, so that you can grow in faith and enjoy all the gifts he has for you, all the blessings, you know.
It's all waiting.
It's all waiting for you to plant that seed. But if you refuse to plant it, he'll let you keep it because that's free will. And he'll let you build a shrine to it if you want. Mm-hmm. You know, have a little tiny votive candle burning in front of that little seed that's on a stand, you know. And maybe you have other little pictures of other seeds, you know, that you put. But, friend, that okay, sounds like I'm making fun. But I'm really just trying to pound that metaphor into you that this life you have, if you don't have Christ, it's going to end horribly.
And that's the truth.
Yeah.
More of the truth.
More of the truth.
You know, and if you know that in your brain, that's one thing. But to know it in your heart, it should give you hope, too, because you see something that you didn't have before, freedom. You know, there's no freedom in having to make the decisions, the earthly decisions that you make all the time that are painful. When you turn that over, that decision-making process, you turn it over to Christ.
Yeah.
You say, here, you make my decisions. You manage my life.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted. And I'm making poor decisions down here, Lord.
Yeah.
And, you know, as smart as some people think they are, they'll still make poor decisions. You scratch your head sometimes saying, oh, Elmer over there, he did what?
Yeah.
I can't believe he did that. Well, he's managing his own life. And,
yeah.
You know, what joy is that? What value is that? It has no value.
No.
You know, I sometimes pull up in my car in traffic next to a Rolls Royce or maybe next to a brand new Mercedes SUV and, you know, their nose is a little bit up in the air there, you know, and I'm in my little car looking up at their door locks and I don't envy them. I wonder if that's as far as it goes for them.
Oh, yeah.
Is that it? Is that the pinnacle of their happiness?
You reminded me of something.
What's that, David?
Well, it's a brief story. When I was in hospice or working for hospice as a chaplain,
mm-hmm.
Of course, I did a ton of funerals in the 6.25 years I worked for, a ton mm-hmm. of funerals. And one of my patients, lovely lady, but she didn't know the Lord. And so as a result, there was no funeral at the church. They did it at the funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
And the pinnacle of the eulogy from her husband, the most that he could say about her was that in the years before she died, she'd always wanted a Jaguar.
Ah.
You know, S-type. And she got that, and she had it. And, okay, you know, I'm glad, folks, and I'm not envious of the fact she had a Jaguar.
Right.
Okay. I drive a Honda. I'm perfectly happy with it, you know. But
can't compare a Jaguar to a heavenly life, a forever eternal life with God.
But the whole summary of her life was found
there
in that joy she had,
mm-hmm.
not in Jesus, but in that Jaguar. And I was saddened. You know, again, she was one of those patients that was comatose when I met her and never came around. Her family wasn't always available when I would visit. So, I mean, I prayed for her, and I hope that I just trust the Lord did something to give her one last chance to hear the gospel.
And that just might have happened, Dave.
Well, I don't know. I'll find out, you know, in heaven, because I trust I'm going to be there. But, you know, and if I, in front of the pearly gates, if I walk up there after I'm gone, after I've died, and there's this woman in an S-type Jaguar with the door open, she probably made it. But the point is, folks, if you think earthly acquisitions, wealth, fame, whatever, if that's the pinnacle of your life's accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's nothing compared to a moment, that moment when Christ comes into your life, because then you don't just get, you know, an earthly tchotchke, right? You use that word a lot, tchotchke.
Tchotchke.
It's a Irish word, not Irish.
Yiddish word.
Yiddish. Is it's a Yiddish word.
I think it's Yiddish.
Okay, one of our listeners, you call us up when you hear this.
It's a little worthless, pretty little object. Tchotchke.
I think it is Yiddish, but it's a worthless. I mean, it's a cheap trinket.
Yeah.
But anything you can own in this life is a cheap trinket compared to salvation, right?
Yes.
And so that's what I want, and I have that in Jesus. And I'm not saying that to say I'm better than you. You know, in fact, in having Jesus, I want you to have Jesus too. Your lack of salvation, the thought that you might go to hell, does not at all excite me. I grieve it. Mm-hmm. And friends, if I grieve it, think how God in his perfect love for you grieves.
Yeah, Jesus talks about this. Remember the parable he talked about with Lazarus and the wealthy king? And
yes, yeah.
Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham.
Yep.
And that parable gave me several insights, as it will anybody who reads it in faith, that one is we recognize each other after death, and the other is that if you're satisfied with the seed in this world, as that rich man was, that's what you get.
Yep.
Enjoy it while you got it, because that's what you got.
Yep.
There is no reward in heaven. There is no treasure waiting for you.
Not if your seed was not ever planted.
Never planted.
You know, that's... And you know, we said you can't have both. You can't have your cake and eat it too.
No,
you've got to. And because of free will, it's important to again reinforce the fact you have a you can choose.
Mm-hmm.
God allows you because he loves you enough not to force you. I love God for that.
Mm-hmm. He's a gentleman,
not to force you to believe. It has to be a choice you make.
That's right.
And then, but of course, in the great gift that comes to you when you begin. You know, last time in the last program we did, I think it was the last program, may have been the one before.
Well, it's been a week.
It's been a week, right. I'm an old guy, so it's hard to remember, but we had said, if you doubt any of this, go to God. Ask him, is all this true? You know, what these two babbling idiots are talking about on the air. Is it really, are they really right on? Is this hope? You know, God, tell me. Now, you may be embarrassed. Don't do it in public because you're embarrassed. Go to a quiet place. You have to have some place at home you can, get into, especially if you live alone, no problem.
Yeah.
You know? And
Your prayer closet doesn't have to be a physical closet.
No, it can just be a place where you can be quiet.
Just a quiet place like the movie The War Room. Remember that?
Yeah.
Great little movie, by the way.
Yeah, great movie about prayer. But go and ask God. And now some people... I can tell you right now, some of you are listening and your gut's starting to clench.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Why? Why is that happening? You're afraid to go to God. Oh, you'll say, well, I've really never prayed before. He might not like it. Hey, the whole of the Bible, if it's nothing more than an invitation of a loving God to Amen. Come to him at any time in whatever condition of life you have because he loves you that much, you got to get over that. Where's that coming from? It's coming from the enemy. The one who wants you to expend eternity with him.
The enemy that tells a sinner, you can't go in that church. The roof's going to fall in on you, and you're not worthy to go in there.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to hear from you. You're a sinner.
But it's all lies.
It is.
So go past that and just say, okay. And again, he's not going to take your will away because you're asking him a question.
That's right.
God, is all this true? Is the Bible real? Is it your word? Is Jesus what he says he is? That he is Son of God, he's the one that came to die for our sins, so I could have eternal salvation. And is it true that if I invite him to come in, I'll get all that?
Right.
Ask him. You know, no skin off your nose, right? Sorry, I'm looking at you when I said that, Barry.
What have you got to lose? What have you got to lose?
You've got nothing. That was a little slight. Forgive me, brother.
Is my nose peeling again?
Well, no. It's just God has given both of us extremely good-sized means of getting air in our lungs.
That's a good
without opening our mouth.
That's right.
Yeah, so I celebrate that. But seriously, come on, this is your life. It's important to you. It's important to us. you know, I know we're going to be with God because of what Jesus did for us. What about you? He wants you too. Don't you want to live forever?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, and to be with God, the source of all life and love and joy and happiness and perfection, and to live with him in a world that where there's no evil.
I have a friend who's a respiratory therapist like I was, and I love the way he puts this. As you develop some wisdom in your life, you get a little bit older, you realize something. Particularly healthcare workers out there, if you're listening, and they'll understand this. You're as good as your next chest x-ray.
Yeah.
And he said that when they found something. Mm. You're as good as your next chest x-ray. And unfortunately, it takes something like that to bring people to their knees. This life has no guarantees in this planet.
None, except
no guarantees.
The only guarantee that anybody has concerning life is Christ Jesus.
That's all you got, and that's all you need.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's right. If you have him, you have everything.
That's right.
And we keep saying that, you know, we believe it. But again, be courageous enough to ask God if it's all true. I guarantee you, he'll tell you.
That's a gutsy prayer, and I take my hat off to you, whoever you are out there. If you're hearing this right now and you decide, okay, I'm turning off the radio and I'm going to go to my quiet place, and you make that commitment.
Yeah.
I'm going to go do that. Congratulations. Good for you.
Amen.
God bless you.
You know, it will only be a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one is going to report you.
No.
To anybody, no one's going to know. Now, when God speaks to you, and he will, and then you will know, you know, hey, okay, this is true, you know, and that truth will lead you to open your heart to Christ,
mm-hmm.
and ask him to come in.
And that's the day that your eternal life comes on board, your life is changed forever,
yeah.
Your anxieties, your regrets, your worries, as we say as pastors, just dump that at the cross, will you?
Yeah.
Just dump it all at the cross and don't pick it up again. And just move on with this eternal promise, this lovely promise. This, we can't find the right words today, David. We meaning me and all the people inside my head. it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
Our minds can't wrap our, we just can't wrap our brain around the fact that the King of the universe has given his only son for each and every one of us.
Amen.
He has that kind of love for each and every one of us. It's hard to process that.
And he will tell you that it's true. And when he does, it's that gift of faith that you'll know it's true. And not only will you not have to prove it,
mm-hmm.
you know, but the proof is in the knowing, the gift of faith. And that, when you share that with others, as you ultimately will, and when you share your life in Christ with others who were like you before you invited Jesus into your heart, what they will hear, they may want you to prove it,
mm-hmm.
you know, but what you will prove is your belief that you know it's true, because that's what everybody gets when a believer shares their faith.
That's right. And you know, when that seed is in the ground, you've put the seed in the ground, and the roots begin to grow, and they seek the nutrients from this rich soil of Scripture.
Yes.
And then your branches come out, and next thing you know, you're a full-fledged tree, and you get stronger in your faith, and your foundational faith is something to behold. And it's you know, when you go to that point in your life and you look back on how unfulfilled you were, there is a bit of mourning, at least in my case, wasted time.
Yeah.
But that's okay. It's okay with God if you wait a little bit, because he's always been there waiting anyway, with
True.
His arms wide open, waiting.
And you know, he has a plan to magnify the work that he wants to do through you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to worry about making up lost time.
Oh, yeah. I've seen people come to Christ in their 80s, and if they've got a year left, 6 months left, or a week left, they utilize it.
Absolutely.
You know, they can't be quiet about it. then you can't be quiet about this. You can't hide it. It's just too exciting, David.
That's what's kept us yapping on this radio program for the last 3 months. Is how excited we are about Jesus. You know, we're almost out of time, Barry, and I just have in my heart a desire to pray for people who are hungry for the truth.
Please share that, David.
Father God, I lift up to you all of our listeners today, and especially those that really have yet to ask Jesus into their hearts. Father, I pray that they will be so enamored with the reality that your truth is really true, that their life can be transformed into the life you intended for them to have, both here on earth and in the kingdom of God. And that they will see that every hunger they've had for every promise that you've made will be realized when they can just ask Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, to come into their lives, to repent of their sins, and to accept his forgiveness and the new life that you're going to give them, that ultimately will be fully realized when their body ceases to function and their spirit leaves and goes to be with you. Oh, Lord, that is going to be a glorious day.
Amen.
For them and for the church. And I pray, Lord God, that they will have the courage to seek your face, to ask you those questions, to receive the answers. In Jesus' name, we pray. We have a few seconds, Barry.
Yes.
And before we sign off, is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, I think about a song. One of my favorite songs is Come to Jesus and Live. Yeah. And in the song, it's described as it's a wonderful image of people with their initial coming to Christ and their growth through Christ. And it goes through all the different stages of growth and faith and ends with, and kiss the world goodbye and laugh in glory. And
I love that.
There's a beautiful picture there of people that have planted their seeds, come to Christ, lived a full life, a full spiritual life, and they just kiss the world goodbye and go on to live in glory forever and ever and ever.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Amen.
Find the title. We'll maybe share it the next time.
Okay.
Y'all be good. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
The cross.